Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
How do you like us now? Dan Wilson, Kyle Quinn in for Joe Giglio and Hugh Douglas. One more day until they return on Monday, January 6th. Kyle, sometimes you work in, you know, here at WIP or the sports radio industry. Yep. Well, sometimes, you work here all the time. But sometimes there are weeks where, you know, the shows are doing different things. You know, the morning show's got one thing, midday's another, afternoon's another, because there's not one clear-cut topic.
No.
This week, there was a clear-cut topic.
Oh, was
the
it?
Phones, yeah, there were.
Oh.
The phones have been hefty and full all week long.
Yeah.
Did it bother you just a little bit that, like, the show was off all week?
So, not necessarily, because we did come in Monday.
You did get a little bit Monday.
And we got right to the chase. Like, we didn't really react to the Cowboys game, win.
Because, by the way, I don't know, like, the perfect storm. I don't know if there's ever been a win over the Cowboys. I said this to Rob Ellis. I'm like, if I told you, 90s Rob Ellis, that the Eagles will clinch the division with a win over the Dallas Cowboys, and the next day no one will care about the game because they're just worried about something else. He was like, I would tell you that you're making it up. There's no scenario that could ever happen.
Yeah.
We found it. Yeah. We found it. A guy going for the rushing record, the Cowboys stink. Everyone expects him to win the division. Perfect storm.
Yeah, and this was kind of one of those weeks where we all came in Monday and we were like, there's no mistaking what the topic is. Now.
And that carried from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday we get the news to Thursday we're reacting to the news.
Yep.
It's been, you know, one call after another, one show after another, all talking about the same thing because it has so much steam, because people are so passionate about it.
And I will say, I do like coming in all the time, and I love talking to the beautiful people that call into the show. Sometimes when you reach like day three or four of
the same thing,
talking about the same thing, there's no new rhetoric. It's the same points over and over and over again.
Sure.
And you know what they are, and you understand the validity to both sides, and then it almost, like, I don't know. Like, I at least came in today, and when talking to you,
you're fired,
like,
up today. This is your first chance to get it off your chest.
Yeah. So, but I wanted to sort of, I was hoping that we would be able to sort of look forward now, right? Because I understand this game against the Giants isn't meaningful, and we got the Band-Aid ripped off by Nick Sirianni, yesterday, about Saquon not playing. So, well, we could have came in here today and mourned the entire time, or at least I would have been, that Saquon's not going for this rushing record. I do like the fact that, obviously, it's out there, and I appreciate the fact that people want to react to it right now, but I'm ready to kind of spin it forward. Let's talk some postseason football, man. We've got an opportunity.
Well, in just 1 minute, we will address a report from Jeremy Fowler this week about what Nick Sirianni needs to do in the postseason to keep his job secure. You won't want to miss that. But we say good morning first to Chris in Middletown.
Uh-oh.
What's up, Chris?
Happy New Year, man.
What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to get in and talk about this great preseason game that we have going on. this weekend.
It's like the final week of the preseason, just tuning up for the playoffs.
It's a must win.
Some are saying it's a must lose, actually. The Giants could drop as low as 9 if they win.
Yeah, well, they're dopes. They won last week.
They could be bigger dopes if they win again.
I hope they do, because they're that stupid. Hey, guys, you know, I'm glad to hear Kyle's riding high in the plant-based seat today.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you there,
big
Kyle.
Shoes to fill.
I'm sitting in the vegan chair. Yeah. Vegetarian.
Yeah. Eat some meat while you're there. Kyle, you know what, though? Sound the alarm, Kyle. Guys, I got to be honest here, right? You got to start the new year off with facts. So I'm always about facts. Kyle knows this. The engine light on the bus, it's flickering. And the hopes and dreams, they may go up in smoke. I'm very curious. This whole Saquon thing had me obviously a little perturbed and upset that he wasn't going to go for the record. That's a shocker. But do you think that if Jalen was healthy, they would have played Saquon for the record? Because I'm starting to think that because Jalen's health is shaky and in doubt at this point, and we know he's going to be rusty, so all of this is 100% fact-based today that he needs to play to kick off some of this rust.
So,
if he was healthy, do you think they would have let Saquon
Chris, I'm a no for a couple of reasons. Number one, I understand the correlation you're drawing between you already have Hurts, you know, risky, his status is a little risky, that you don't want to risk another guy in Saquon Barkley. But to me, the Eagles have always been about resting their guys. It's why they don't, at least super recently, they don't play their guys in the preseason. Last year, they played A.J. Brown at the end of the year, which wasn't an entirely meaningless game, but it turned out to be, and they got hurt. They haven't had a bye since week 5. I just think this is the Eagles' type of mindset of we go for Lombardi trophies, we try and rest our players when we can, and even if Jalen Hurts was 100% healthy, I think he would just be on the rest report with the rest of them.
I tend to agree. I think the Eagles just sort of apply that same logic that if Saquon Barkley is too important to risk in this game, then they would apply that same logic with the quarterbacks.
So then why wouldn't they apply it for Jalen? And here's my problem with that, Ben. I agree with that, but then Jalen does need to play because – Kyle, you've said this. He hasn't played really much in the past month. If we roll into the playoffs and we get kicked out week one, which I feel like it's like the Phillies season all over again here. We got these high hopes and they're about to come crashing down. It's going to be one and done.
Negadelphia again.
If that happens, you know what? Nick is going to hear starting to pick up in the background. It's a little bit of a boy band warming up that's getting ready.
Chris, I'm so glad you mentioned that because we're going to address that in just one second here. But first, give us something that's long overdue, like a snowstorm.
I got something that I know Kyle will 100% agree with, and I think it's time for the fan base of this show to finally hear one Hugh Douglas take the airwaves for an entire show and apologize and say how wrong he is with his ridiculous take that defense is a luxury. It's time to give it up to you.
I agree.
Chris, we appreciate the call.
Yeah. Hugh's been – it's been unfortunate to hear a man die on a hill
so hard.
So stubbornly.
A once well-respected football mind.
So and love Hugh, obviously. He will just not ever –
he digs his heels
in. Well, first of all, he won't even say, like, if you just say, Hugh, like, defense, not looking like a luxury. He's like, yeah, they're playing well. It's such like a filibuster.
Yeah.
Like, he just totally tries to deflect off of the topic. And my favorite part about it is that he insists that he was right for a time, that defense was once a luxury. And I kept trying to explain to him, Hugh, like, last season they sucked. In large part because their defense also sucked. That would,
correct,
by nature, make it also a necessity then. So this didn't just change. Like, he wasn't just proven wrong this year. This has been an uphill battle for Hugh for quite a long time.
He got proven especially wrong this year.
And
when they're in a playoff game and this team starts out slow, guess who's going to bail them out? That defense.
It's going to be the defense. And I think we should all now, when we get back on the airwaves next week, I think we all need to start pressuring Hugh to still dye the beard green, even though he did technically win his bet this season.
Oh, yeah, so remind me the parameters of this bet.
Okay, so if the Eagles' defense allowed 17 or fewer points per game by the season's end, Hugh would have to
By regular season's end.
Yes, regular season's end. Hugh would have to either shave the beard off or settle in. We settled in on something that was a little more palatable for Hugh. Dyed the beard green, and I think that's a more fun thing for you know, listeners.
For radio,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, his beard's green, like the pictures of that will be hilarious. Not that babyface Hugh wouldn't be funny, but a guy with that, you know, that big beard dyeing it green, that would have been awesome. He did win the bet. The Commanders sort of put that one to bed when they put up 36 points on the defense. The average got thrown off. But we do need to continue to put pressure on Hugh to do it anyway.
Well, so here's the question. I'm not a math major, but you could figure. So the Eagles are currently allowing 18.1 points per game. Has anyone done the math? If they theoretically pitched a shutout against the Giants on Sunday?
Which is, I mean, look, that's out there.
You remember the Eagles lost a 6-0 game to the Cowboys the final week, the Super Bowl year? Like, let's say the Giants just run it right, run it left, run it right, and they bring this average down.
Yeah.
I know it's a meaningless game, but it's still the regular season.
So we're not notoriously very good at math on this show.
Okay.
Maybe Caleb, during one of the breaks or something, can check the math for us, or one of the callers want to, someone on Twitter.
I can do the math in the break, yeah.
All right, good. Big brain over there.
Well, it's not that hard. You add up all the defensive totals. All right, Kyle, we got to get into something here, which is that there is a national report floating out there this week from Jeremy Fowler, right?
Yep.
That if the Eagles do not win the wild card game, if they do lose, if maybe Jalen Hurts looks rusty, maybe the defense doesn't play their best game, if they get picked off first round in the wild card round by a team like the Commanders, like the Packers, that Nick Sirianni's job is not 100% secure. I'm going to read you an excerpt from this article. It said, Sirianni's 47-20 record is impressive, yet his standing was a talking point coming off a tumultuous 2023 campaign, and he doesn't have a contract extension in place. His contract goes through 2025, by the way. The sideline and on-field spats are sort of hard to ignore. Any firing here would be a sizable upset, but if we're talking surprises, this would be one to the list because his status was a regular debate less than 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. Kyle Quinn, if the Eagles lose, and again, we don't know how it would look, but if the Eagles lose...
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lose the wild card game. Is it fair to discuss whether Nick Sirianni should be brought back next year?
Unfortunately, it is fair. And so just to preface this, Jeremy Fowler is not the first person to sort of hint at this or be on this. I think Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, not too long ago brought up the fact that, like, the same thing, that Nick Sirianni's job status can be in jeopardy. I'm not sure if he said in the wild card round if they get bounced or if they just don't make a deep playoff run in general. So I guess, Buzz, this is a good opportunity for me to reveal, I would say, sort of a change in my Facebook relationship status with Nick Sirianni.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because noted big Nick Sirianni guy.
Yes.
I've been saying they should give him an extension. I thought he did a fantastic job this season coming off of last season. I am not getting divorced off my Nick Sirianni take, to use relationship analogy, but I will say we're not currently on speaking terms. I'm sleeping on the couch right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
So I'm very disappointed in his decision to rest Saquon Barkley. I think he robbed the fans. I think he robbed the team of something that would have been one of the coolest things that we would have here as Philadelphia sports fans. I understand, and you know, I talked about this ad nauseum Monday. Everyone's been talking about it all week. But I was never of the mindset that, you know, what if he gets injured and then the Super Bowl screwed? Like, screw that. We could have had both. He could have gotten this record and we could have won the Super Bowl. I think this would have been awesome for Philadelphia fans to have your name etched to Philadelphia Eagles, Saquon Barkley, on a rushing record that was 40 years old. Like, I'm very disappointed in the fact that, I mean, especially after hearing from Saquon, hearing some of the players on the team, Jordan Mailata, and, you know, I'm sure there's others that I'm forgetting right now, but Saquon especially, they seem bummed. And
he did seem bummed.
He seemed really bummed. The hood up, man.
The hood up, kind of somber. He looked like a high schooler when he just got, like, broken up with or something outside his locker.
And I heard Landon Dickerson on the Players Lounge on Monday. He was talking about they weren't really going to push for Sirianni to do this. I'm very, very disappointed that they robbed the city, the fans, and Saquon of the opportunity to go get this rushing record and just to sort of wrap it into the Sirianni thing about his job status, the expectations this season have changed pretty drastically. I mean, we didn't go into the season, I think, you know, with a consensus that the Eagles were going to be the NFC's champs, that they were going to win 13 games, right? I saw some 9-8 predictions, 8-9 predictions, and I think, you know,
10-11,
sure, besides the total homers that would say 15 wins, or, you know, the Jack Fritz of the world that had 16-1. Which,
by the way, he's going to end up being the closest.
Yeah, I know you're right. But, you know, I think the general consensus was maybe 11, 12 wins and a shot to win the NFC East, right? The Cowboys ended up becoming totally off the track on that. So the Eagles ended up winning the NFC East, and now we look like we're one of the top teams in the NFL just based off the way the defense is playing, Saquon and everything. The expectation now has to be, and the devil's going to be in the details, how they lose, this and that. But I think the expectation has now changed, and I think just hearing the buzz around, you know, what Fowler said, what Mike Florio said, they're getting this from somewhere. I think there might...
It's not made up. This isn't
sure,
their opinion.
They're
connected.
Yeah, it seems to me that there's a thought within the Eagles organization that with what they have right now, if they don't end up winning the Super Bowl or, you know, making a deep playoff run, say they do get bounced in the first round, you know what Howie, Jeff, all of us are going to be thinking. Do we have the right coach to maximize? Because let's be totally clear about this. This is a very, very talented roster. They're young, all of that.
Arguably the most talented in the league.
Absolutely, and we didn't really expect them to be quite this talented. You know, with all the young players, the rookies, the one-year deal guys, all of this and that, you know, Howie and Jeff are going to look at this and say, you know, you never know how long your window is to win in this league. And this is one of their better opportunities. I'm going to do a little bit later what next year looks like and all of that with their schedule. But this is a huge opportunity. And I think if they don't capitalize and they don't win, they're going to be looking within and saying, do I have the right coach to get the most out of this talent? I think it'll be totally fair to discuss whether or not Nick Sirianni should be back next season.
So I could not disagree more with like 95% of what you just said, right?
This is unbelievable.
If they get bounced in the first round and Nick Sirianni coaches like the worst game of his career, sure, it's going to be on the table, right? But barring something catastrophic and maybe the worst coach game of his career, I think Nick Sirianni absolutely needs to be back next year. And this is coming from someone who was very critical and skeptical of Nick Sirianni all season long. This is a guy who I think pretty consistently, more so earlier in the year, makes bad clock management decisions. He makes poor, like, go for two decisions. Like, not really. I understand they get down to the one and then he doesn't really take into account the score, how many possessions he's going up. Seems to struggle with a lot of that. This is a team who comes out slow each and every week. How prepared are they?
Yeah.
That is all fair to question. The outbursts on the sideline are a concern for me as well. But at the end of the day, Nick Sirianni actually feels to me like he's grown as a coach this year. He, each and every week, feels like he gets a little bit better. Sometimes he overcompensates but finds the middle ground. It's something small, but last week against the Cowboys, Kenny Pickett's running to the locker room and maybe this forced this decision. But remember, the Cowboys jumped off sides on an extra point, and then they could have gone for two from the 1 yard line, and he still decides to take the extra point to make it three possessions. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a little thing for me that says this guy's growing, he's learning from his mistakes. Did it take him until year four to do it? Fine, whatever. But the players also love him so much. I cannot imagine that even if they lose in the wild card round, this, we already know that the players are not in love with this decision to not play Saquon. Now you're really going to, you know, cause a little bit of a stir in that locker room if Nick Sirianni gets fired. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to give them a contract extension right now. That's probably, you know, proceedings you wait for the offseason to do. But Nick Sirianni coaching for his job in this wild card game just puts an unnecessary cloud over his head. If you were actually to dismiss him from the team, now you're going to try and find another coach who the players like as much. We already know that the power structure of this organization is that the GM, Howie Roseman, has most of the power anyway. I tend to believe that's where this decision came from. Mm-hmm. I deep down think Nick Sirianni probably would have wanted to go for this record, but the fact that he stood up there like a man, said, no, we're going to rest some guys, we're going to try and hold out for the playoffs, we're holding out for the Lombardi Trophy. Whether he deep down agreed with it or not, whether deep down it was his individual decision or not, I actually think we've seen more decision-making maturity from Nick Sirianni as the season has gone on. He has proved to me that he's the right guy for this group and this power dynamic within the Eagles organization. I have a hard time believing that even if they lose this game, he has not done enough this regular season. Think about all the tests he's answered.
Yeah.
Think about every single time. Like, you know, if Nick Sirianni's going to be the guy, he's going to go beat Sean McVay or Harbaugh or Tomlin or, you know, the Rams, Ravens, Steelers. And every single time there's been a test, he's checked the box. He has done enough in this regular season where there was a legitimate cloud over his head after the way last year ended. He's done enough in this regular season. I know that's not where championships are won. No. I know we're all going to talk about what happens in the playoffs, not the regular season, but he's done enough this year in this regular season to prove to me that he's matured as a coach, has completely won this locker room over, and that firing him would be absolutely the wrong decision, even if they lose.
So, and I know, and look, this is hard for me because this is coming from...
I know, you're a big Nick guy.
I'm a lifelong Sirianni guy. I agree with you. He's done a fantastic job this regular season. And this is, because we do this a lot with the record, right? Quarterback wins. We do it with Jalen. We do Sirianni.
But head coaching record is...
I completely agree. Yeah. I think a head coach, like if there's
one... What else are you supposed to grade him on?
Well, here's another one. I'll paint a picture for you. Because what is he, the regular season, like 45 and 20 or something?
47 and 20, I think I said.
Outstanding win percentage. Say they get bounced in the first round. His win percentage in the playoffs all of a sudden becomes a major question mark. He's 2-4 at that point, right? And the two wins, I could argue, are against Daniel Jones and the ghost of Josh Johnson / Brock Purdy with the 49ers. So that's not exactly a very decorated postseason record. And with
this, no, it's not.
And this decision the Eagles just made told you what their focus is in this postseason, right? It's not about making fans happy for, you know, the short little highs, right? It's not about getting Saquon this record. This is about winning in the postseason, winning the Super Bowl. So I think by them doing that, Howie and Lori have set the expectation now for Nick Sirianni that you have to go deep into this postseason. You need to make this matter.
So let me ask you, let's say they beat the Packers round one, they lose in the divisional round. Is he safe? How far is far enough?
Yeah. It's where it's difficult because the devil's obviously in the details. It's going to, you know, if they lose a hard fought game to the Lions or something or the Vikings, the second round, I don't know, right? I can't put myself in the situation how I'm going to feel at that point. I will just say I think the benchmark for Nick Sirianni is going to have to be not just winning the first round, but I think
at least the conference championship.
I think they're going to expect him to at least make the conference championship. And then I don't know. Like the way that this reporting is coming down is that they expect huge things from this team. And I mean, I know how he looks at this roster and he's very proud of it. And he looks at Vic Fangio and the coaching staff he assembled and he's very proud of it. I think it's going to be hard for them not to look at Nick Sirianni as the reason that they don't go deep into this postseason if it comes down to that.